This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right. Thanks for joining us. And a good Monday morning to you. Good, the bad, and the dumb coming up this hour. We'll get more into the National Football League. The Buffalo Bills beat the Cleveland Browns. That game in Detroit beat them 31-23. Buffalo barely got out. The community was so great to get the players to the airport. They got left on Saturday at 4 o'clock. Now, I have to say that all week long leading up to the big storm that was coming in Buffalo, I was kind of like disappointed because I was kind of waiting to see if we could actually have a really cool snow game between the Bills and the Browns. But when they kept saying it was going to be 5 to 6 feet of snow, I was like, yeah, I really, even as a kid who grew up in New Hampshire, that's a lot of snow. That is a lot of snow. And I don't know if my brain really processed what it would take. But when you saw the video of people putting out, like carving out tunnels on their driveway to get to their car and basically piles and piles of snow, you realized why the NFL moved the game. Do we love games in the wintertime? Sure. Do we love the element of weather that gets thrown into these northeastern games? Of course. There's all these wild games that have occurred in New England, in New York, in Buffalo, in Chicago, that have just been remarkable, whether it's fog, whether it's rain, whether it's wind, whether it's cold, whether it's whatever. The elements of football are great, but this was too much. This was too much. And I know I'm sounding probably like an old man here, but there was no way in God's green earth that they were going to be able to play that game. When you remove snow, you have to remove it to something. And I have no idea how they were going to remove all of that snow from the stadium. 5 feet of snow is a lot of cubic feet of snow when you're talking about a stadium and trying to figure out a way to pull it. You could do it all day long and not clear it. It's, you know, there's only so many dump trucks that you can bring to fill up with snow that's coming from a stadium. And you could bring an army of people there, and you still probably weren't going to shovel that snow out of that stadium. So in this case, the NFL was right. Boy, I certainly would have loved to have seen it. It certainly would have been intriguing. But seeing pictures of that stadium where you couldn't even identify that it was a stadium was really remarkable what Mother Nature could do. But nevertheless, the Bills got back on track, winning that game against Cleveland 31-23, and they did so with a lot of field goals, lots of field goals. We got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What a... idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Oh, it's a good, the bad, and the dumb. Hope you had a good weekend, by the way, and hope you have a very good Thanksgiving week as we approach the holiday season. But you know what? It's the good of the day. And what is the good of the day, my friend?
Well, I had two.
Yeah?
Then you took one.
Okay.
So now I'm back down to one. But my first good of the day was I was going to talk about Bill's Mafia showing up.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's another fan base like them. For a fact there's not another fan base like them. But
they knew how to get their players out of there.
Yeah. I mean, they were shoveling driveways, plowing roads. It was like, hey, man, we're getting you to the airport one way or another, so yep. No excuses.
Exactly.
But, yeah, that snow was – that was impressive.
That was, man. That – you know, I got a friend of mine in Denver. He kept going, I don't know why they're doing this. And I go, come on, man. Like – come on. Like, you can't see this? Like, it's not a flurry. Like, what are they going to do with the snow? Like, what are you going to do with it? Like, it's 5 feet everywhere. It's not 5 feet over here. It's 5 feet everywhere. Like, wherever you look, what are you going to do with it?
But it was weird seeing, like, because I guess it's like a narrow band. This is something I learned over the weekend about the snow. It's a narrow band. So there was like one, I want to say maybe it was a camera on top of a building or maybe someone was flying a drone and you could see the wall of snow.
Yeah.
And they're above, you know, the city of Buffalo, but they're not, I mean, they're getting like little flakes here and there, but there is nothing compared to what's in the middle. And that thing went right over Orchard Park. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Like, I'm serious. Like, okay, you're going to get people with shovels. Okay, so then what are you going to do? Like, where are you going to put it?
How high can you shovel snow?
Like that's what I mean. Like, that's what I was trying to explain to them. I'm like, okay, so let's say you have 1,000 people with shovels and they go to the stadium. Where do they put the snow? They're going to take the snow and they're going to give it to Joe. And then Joe's going to give it to Mike. And Mike's going to give it to Jim. And they're gonna, where are you going to put it? And then let's say you get a plow enough to get a dump truck. Where are you going to put it? Like, eventually the dump truck isn't as high as the wall it's trying to dump the snow on. Where do you put it? Like, let's be realistic here. This wasn't like 3 to 4 inches of snow. We're talking about houses being buried in snow. Like, what are you talking about? Like, people had pictures over the weekend where you couldn't see the window of the house. It was up to the door.
Like, I saw one video which was cracking me up because I can't remember the music he was playing, but he was playing as his garage door was opening. And it just kept going and going and going. I mean, the garage, it was literally the entire height of the garage door.
Yeah.
I was like, you're stuck in your house for days at that point.
That's exactly right. My wife likes snow a lot. She goes, oh, I miss that. I go, what do you miss?
Not that.
The possibility of power going out and being stuck in your house for four days?
The thought was going through my mind. It's like, all the kids are enjoying it. I said, yeah, but there's 1,000 dads right now going, man, is this roof going to hold?
Right?
Because exactly. That's a lot of weight.
You have to get your car. And that's the other thing. People have to get your car. You have to take the, because it becomes ice. Like once the temperature goes down.
Yeah.
Like once it really starts to freeze, that snow becomes ice. And then it's really hard to get off your car. So you have to take the snow off your car every now and then. You have to go out there and try it. It's crazy. It's nuts. So, yeah, good for the Bills to try to get the team out there. It reminded me of the story in Denver years and years and years ago where they had a whole bunch of people with plows and they plowed the road for the Broncos bus to get to the airport. Now, I have no idea how flying works. Like, when they just de-ice the plane, does the plane go, there's no problem. Once we get up there, we're good. Like, wall of snow, I don't care.
Yeah.
We're a powerful jet. So.
They got to the game.
They got to the game is right.
And apparently, tweeted out that they left the tables intact.
Yeah, right.
At the stadium because they need them next week.
Good job. Good job. So, and nevertheless, that was, you're right, it's good. So what's the second good of the day?
The second good of the day is that the World Cup has officially kicked off.
The World Cup has kicked off, yes.
Amongst all the controversy, we saw our first game yesterday, Qatar going down to Ecuador. And this is one of those weird things because I could care less about either of these teams. Yet I found myself watching it.
Yeah, Qatar, Ecuador, yeah.
And right now I'm watching England versus Iran.
Yep.
Where the Iranian goalkeeper seems to be really hurt because a player ran into him.
The United States plays later this afternoon.
At 2 o'clock Eastern.
Exactly. So
make sure you're at your watch party or something. Where systems go. Now, the other good of the day, part of attached to this World Cup, was the Ecuadorian fans yesterday because they broke out in full chant, "We want beer."
Yeah, good for them. Good for them.
And so, and then somebody pointed out on Twitter because they showed us some angry, sad Qatari fans because they were losing 2-0. I was like, it sure looks like these guys could use some beers.
Yeah, good. Good, I'm glad.
What's going to make the fun part of this tournament.
Exactly. But at least the World Cup is underway.
World Cup is underway. Yep. Sports washing begins.
Yep, exactly. All right, what is the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, I got to give it to Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
When during the post game, the press conference, he was asked, do you feel that the offense that he led let the defense down? Because the defense held the Patriots to 10 points, realistically, 3 points, because the last touchdown came on a punt return.
Yeah.
Held them to 3 points. His reply was, no.
Love that. No, why not?
If you're curious about Zach Wilson's stats lines for the day, he was 9 of 22 for 77 yards. So he completed 9 passes. They punted 10 times. And he was also the team's leading rusher with 3 carries for 26 yards.
He was. Yeah, he was like their entire offense. He was like really their entire offense.
And so, I would say look in the mirror. I would think that if your defense held the Patriots to 3 points, you let your offense let the team down.
Yeah, you did. Like, I'm sorry. Like, the defense played its tail off, and you failed miserably. That's the only way I could. That's the only way I could point that out. Is that you kind of failed? Sorry, but that was terrible. Like, what a way to lose a game, by the way.
Right? Yeah. No, just, I mean, a terrible game as a whole.
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand the Patriots only scoring 3 points, but I mean, you know, this is Zach Wilson. Jets, you guys are, you know, the darlings of the AFC right now.
Yeah. Exactly.
And it's just, you know, I don't know. Zach Wilson's supposed to make leaps and bounds. He's supposed to be the guy. And people are already saying, it's like, yo, Jets fans, hey, he might not be the guy. Start preparing yourself.
The one thing that I have to say about the Jets fans is do you think there is a point where they go, oh, God, like, we thought this was over. Like, we thought we had turned the corner.
Don't you feel like they're used
and
to it?
And now we've got this back. Like, ugh, you got to be kidding. Like, unbelievable. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, is it that feeling of, you got to be kidding me. I cannot believe this is happening. Maybe because it's not like if you are the Kansas City Chiefs, if you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan, and you, let's say you lost that game where the offense was terrible, you'd go, well, no, all right, it happens. But if you're a Jets fan and you're rolling along and you're 6-3 and you're 5-1 with Wilson coming back from the injury, and you're like, this is great. That game reminds you, like, at any moment, boom, you could go back. The clock can strike midnight and you're back to a pumpkin. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what, yep, I think. That's the feeling.
I think they're so used to that feeling.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, it seems like to be that way every single time. I mean, let's, you know, you had Mark Sanchez, who was supposed to change the franchise. Who was, you know, who else was there? I'm trying to think, like, guys they drafted. Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Why am I already forgetting about him?
Exactly. So
yeah. Zach, this one was on you. Nine completions, that's it?
Yeah.
For 77 yards? I mean, come on.
You know, and that's the whole thing, too. It's like, again, you ask these questions because you get an answer. And you get an answer, yep, and that's what they're looking for. And that's, you know, do you want a specific answer? Sometimes, because it makes your story a little bit better. But sometimes the answer is just the answer. And you go, boom, you know, and then he goes, no. And you go, okay. He's not giving them any sort of ground to, he's not coming out and going, hey, I need to be better. We need to be better. It starts with me. It doesn't have a good look. So, all right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, Tony, and I mean, maybe you can help me out with this. And you probably can't, though. Mm-hmm. That we have yet another hunter who captured video footage of Bigfoot.
Another Bigfoot sighting?
Another Bigfoot sighting. And this one, I mean, you know, it looks pretty good. And my question is, with all the technology that we have at our disposal, why can we never get clear footage of this thing? I mean, this guy's camera is shaky. Now, I understand he's zoomed in, so that makes your field of view on the camera, you know, you're bouncing up and down all over the place. But it's hard, you know, you can see it clearly for a little bit, and if you zoom in, you know, it zooms in on it, you can kind of see it walking, but it seems to me at some point, somebody would just go up and almost be able to interview a Bigfoot.
I agree with you completely. I just do not understand. Again, it's the same thing with UFOs. Like,
yeah,
where is, like, every time they go, here is naval footage of, I go, what is it? Like, why
is it just a bright dot?
Yeah, why is it a bright dot? Why? What exactly is it? Can you read? You should be able to read the markings on it, like, from wherever it is with your laser-powered cameras.
Listen, I know this for a fact. The SR-71, right, is the fastest plane, U.S. plane, or actually fastest plane that was ever created, was a spy and reconnaissance plane. And it used to fly at like 60,000 feet, you know, just barely, you know, I'm just almost pushing it up against the outer space.
Yeah.
And it literally could take a picture of a person standing outside of a building.
Yeah, exactly.
From 60,000 feet up. And you could, it was a little grainy, but you could see that was a person.
I know. The videos that we see of this stuff, you're right. It's like so blurry. And it's especially now, like, these phone cameras are incredible.
Oh, my God.
They're incredible.
There's no need to have a real camera with these phone cameras.
Nope. You get a blurry picture. Same thing when somebody goes, look what I see up in the sky. It's always just some dot.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what that is. right? Why don't you show me the docking bay opening up with tiny planes coming out of it?
There's windows there, right? Why can't we just get a little closer and you guys just wave hi?
Yeah, exactly.
And see if the alien waves hi back.
Exactly. That's what I mean. So
I love these videos, but I mean, like, for Bigfoot, you mean to tell me that there's enough big feet? I don't know. Is it big feet?
Yeah.
There's enough of them out there that they can continue breeding, but there's always, we only find one.
Yep, that's it.
That's my other thing, too. It's like we've never stumbled upon a family or a hut.
Yeah, does the Bigfoot, is he alone? Is he by himself? Is he like,
is he what 1,000 years old at this point?
Yeah, we've been talking about Bigfoot my whole life. My whole life. Does he have babies? Is there family? You're right. You're 100% right.
And you got to think beyond that, too, because remember, I mean, we grew up with the movie Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah.
Which was, a fun, campy movie, and I still enjoy it from time to time, but, that movie's been around, and the theory behind Bigfoot was even precedes that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I agree completely. Yeah, what are we doing?
Yeah, so. It frustrates me because every time I see we got video footage, of course I'm going to click on it, but it's only half a second long and it's like, there he is. Oh, I missed it.
Oh, missed it. Exactly.
But this one, at least there's some length to it. It's just not the greatest of quality.
Yeah, I want to hear him. I really want to hear him go, hi, I'm Bigfoot. I know you guys have been looking for me for a long time, but can you just do me a favor? I'll leave you alone if you leave me alone. I got a whole group over here. We're just chilling. We just want to hunt a little bit. Take your pictures and move on. That's it. And that would be great, but probably not going to get that.
No. So never will.
All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb on your Monday. Again, more from the NFL on the weekend that was. Again, World Cup, United States taking on Wales. It's later this afternoon. We are going to talk about that in hour number three. Josh Alper is going to join us here in hour number two to talk NFL as we continue. It's Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so the Dallas Cowboys rolled past the Minnesota Vikings yesterday. Did you know that they I was watching Red Zone yesterday, so I didn't notice this, but the CBS cut away from Cowboys-Vikings so they could go to Steelers-Bengals.
Saw that. Not in my area.
Yeah, well,
my area stuck with the Cowboys all the way through.
Stuck with Cowboys-Minnesota. Yeah, I mean, so the rest of the country could get
Steelers-Bengals,
actually a good game, which, by the way, was pointed out, which is really odd, because even in a blowout, the Cowboys are still ratings winner. But, the Steelers-Bengals game was actually kind of tight until it got away from the Steelers a little bit.
I thought you were going to get the rare double.
I did, too. I thought they were going to pull it off. They were right back and forth with Cincinnati, and then Cincinnati pulled away a little bit, and the Steelers scored a late touchdown to make it a little closer, but it wasn't really that close. So they gave you at least an entertaining game. That really was surprising. But you know what? I've been around the block with this many, many times. I think sometimes you have a game like that where you completely explode. Jerry Jones, though, is back on the Dallas Cowboys are Super Bowl contenders bandwagon a week after he was like, oh my God, we lost to the Packers in overtime at Lambeau Field. The season's over. Good Lord. But you know what I was thinking? I was watching the game. Well, I was really watching basically what Red Zone was sending me. And I noticed that the Cowboys are better when Tony Pollard is gaining a lot of offense. And then Ezekiel Elliott just comes in on short yardage runs at the goal line.
Yep.
Their offense is just better with Tony Pollard on the field. You want to use Zeke in, first and goal to 2 or 3 or 1 or whatever. That's great. But they are much better with Tony Pollard catching the ball out of the backfield, running the ball in general, than they are with Zeke. That's, but that was an annihilation. I mean, that really was. That really was. But again, this league is weird.
It's surprising because, it's like, God, I mean, I immediately, when I see games like that, I immediately think of our top five, bottom five.
Yeah, right.
And then I sit there and I'm watching that game guess who's out of the top five?
Yeah, exactly.
Because they don't look like they belonged anywhere in that conversation anymore.
Well, it does. It really does open it up. It's really funny that you bring that up because a lot of the analysis this morning on the Vikings is, shouldn't we have really believed them the whole time?
Right.
It's like
yes, we
one
them.
Game.
They beat the Bills, and we're oh, my God, they are for real.
And they beat the Dolphins, too. I mean, they beat the Dolphins, I think, when Tua was out. But nevertheless, obviously they did because Tua hasn't lost yet. But
and you know who else I did that to with this weekend? I did that with the Giants.
Yeah, the Giants, the same thing. Same thing. What? Well, I guess the party's over now.
Yeah.
They lost to Detroit. I guess this is the real Brian Daboll Giants. Daniel Jones getting picked off by Aiden Hutchinson, and Jamal Williams scored 3 touchdowns, and DeAndre Swift added another one. And but it's really funny how one game you can that's where you go. It's like all of a sudden people are like, because again, unless you are Kansas City, Buffalo, I'm even trying to think, like, I think they're really, to be honest with you, those are the only two teams, because Philadelphia was getting a little bit of that this morning of, you know, they had to come back to win, and they had to use Jalen Hurts had to use his legs, and that's really not sustainable. And do they even have a deep threat like we thought? Like, guys, it's a long season, man. It is a season where the matchups are so much closer than you think, and sometimes you go, it was ugly, but we won. And that's why I think Nick Sirianni was making his point when he said, we left here with a win. Was it pretty? God, no. The Eagles didn't look pretty at all. But in the end, it's a victory, and then you move on to next week. But you're right. That's why I opened up the first hour with, it is now time to start really, really processing what we have. I mean, you are either a team that is, no matter what bumps and bruises you have, there's complete trust that you'll make the playoffs and do whatever you do in those playoffs. Then there's the teams that are hovering around playoff possibility, but they're on the good side of that coin, right? They're good football teams. They're playing well. They may not win the division, but they're definitely going to be a factor when we get to deciding who's going to the postseason. But then there are teams on the B side of that where you're good enough to be talked about, but you better have some work. And then there are the crappy teams that are absolutely going nowhere. Right, they're you know, the Denver's, the Vegas, the Steelers, the, you know, the Texans, and all those teams are not.
I'm not gonna lump the Steelers in the same grouping as, you know, say like the Broncos, the Texans.
The Steelers aren't going to the playoffs.
Oh no, and they're not going to the playoffs.
That's
but
what I
mean.
I feel like
they're still, you know, but I can't say them in the same breath because they're a special type of bad.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
They're in a category by themselves right now. The Broncos, the Texans. I mean, that's a whole different. That's a horse of a different color.
Right. That's very true.
That's like tier, you know, double Z, and then let's let's find where we can slot the Steelers.
Yeah, let's put the Steelers somewhere.
Let's put some respect on them. Give them a little bit of respect. Yeah, I don't think the Steelers are making the playoffs, but my God, they're better than whatever that was yesterday.
The Broncos game. The Broncos game probably affects me the most because I was like, I covered the Broncos, but I didn't, you know, I wouldn't say my fandom didn't switch. I was a Steeler fan all the way through. But I have a special affinity for the people that worked with the organization and whatnot. But I was like, I couldn't believe what I was watching. I could not believe that team couldn't score one more touchdown in 3 quarters of football.
Yeah.
Could not believe it. I could not believe it, how horrible that they look. And you know what it is? It's you ever have a friend in your life, whether it's male or female, that they just can't seem to be in a good relationship? Like every time they're like, I met a guy or I met a girl, and they go nuts for them and they love them. And then a week later, 5 weeks later, 2 months later, 6 months later, they're like, yeah, it's just, I don't know why I can't find true love. The Broncos can't find a quarterback. They were really happy with Russell. That city was really excited about this trade. They gave up a lot to get Russell Wilson. They were like, finally, it's been this. Finally, we got the guy. You know, it took forever. We've tried so many, but we finally got the guy. They were genuinely excited. They were holding hands in the park. They were finishing each other's sentences, right? They were that annoying couple that you're like, God, can we please just get a couple of years under their belt where they're just like annoyed with each other? Oh, you know, I love you. No, I love you more. I love you more. That's the way the Broncos were with Russell Wilson. And just like bad relationships that you can see a mile away, we're looking at them now going, now you're stuck with each other. Like, you ever had a friend you want to pull aside and go, hey, man, don't marry her.
Yes.
Just, you got to tell me. Trust me. Me and your best friends, we've been talking. This isn't good for you. She's not good for you. Don't marry her. Don't marry her. Please don't marry her. The Broncos married this guy. They gave him a 5-year contract extension before he threw one pass for them. And now they're stuck with him for a decade. Oh, ugh, ugh. It's awful. All right, it's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
wake-up call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Let's go to the Progressive Guest Line this morning. Josh Alper joins us, ProFootballTalk.com, talk NFL Week 11. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Visit them for a quote today at Progressive.com. How are you, Josh?
I'm great.
Hey, last night, Patrick Mahomes does it again. They win a 30-27 victory over the Chargers for Los Angeles at 5-5. How much work do they need to do? What is missing from that team?
The last 2 weeks, it's the same kind of thing, this inability to close out games. And you went out and you went to buy a better defense. You got Khalil Mack. You got J.C. Jackson, who's obviously injured now. But you did those things to kind of eliminate these late game follies that sunk them last year, and they're right back where they got, where they were. I think they need to be better late in games, and I think they need to take fuller advantage of moments earlier in games to make sure that the game is out of reach. I thought there were chances last night to kind of put the Chiefs away, and they missed them. And so I think it's a an urgency, a killer instinct. Obviously, the injuries have hurt them, but, everybody's hurt. Everybody's got these problems. So, I think that they can right the ship. They could certainly wind up still as a 9-10 win team, but I think it's just this consistent effort across the board.
There are these games that happen in this league every single year where we take a team and we really, really like them, and then they kind of implode, and then we kind of wonder, should we have liked them in the first place? I felt like this morning in reading some analysis that people were kind of going, well, maybe we shouldn't have been so high on the Vikings. Are you buying that thought after just this absolutely disaster of a loss?
Yeah, I think everyone was kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. I think that, Kirk Cousins' history, the Vikings' history, you were, saying this is kind of too good to be true. This team is, pulling out all of these games in the last minute. And certainly that Buffalo game was such an epic win that it felt like coming into this game against Dallas. There were some people who were saying, how could the Cowboys be favored coming into this game? And I think the reason why you saw in full living color, the Vikings are a good team, but they're not a team that, when you put them on paper, looks like a team that should have had a 8-1 record going into yesterday's game. And I think everyone was waiting for a course correction. I don't know that a bit of a stretch to say you were expecting it to be that big of a course correction, but I think that there were a lot of people who expected this to be a wake-up call for the Vikings. And look, they got a great chance to rebound against the Patriots on Thursday. They go out and win that game, and I think I think people will feel a little bit more secure about them as a real team that could go into the playoffs and maybe win a game or two. But I don't think anybody was convinced that they were, destined for the Super Bowl off the start to this season.
And on the flip side of that, with Dallas and the way they played, their defense especially, do we think of them differently now? Do we see them, all right, maybe we're buying into a little bit more of the Cowboys?
Yeah, I think the good Cowboys, when the Cowboys are hitting on all cylinders, they are an incredibly talented team. The defense that they've built is outstanding. I think when they get a chance to play ahead and rush the passer the way that they did yesterday, it is it's all gravy for them. But, you go back to the Green Bay game the week before, if you can run the ball and you don't play from behind, it's a very different team. It's a team that looks really good when they're playing with a lead and looks a little bit more lost in these tighter, closer games. So I think that when you think about the playoffs, you think about the tighter, closer games. And you go back to last year with the Dax, with the running play at the end of the 49ers loss and all of these other kinds of detail things that the Cowboys don't do well. And I think until they win one of those kinds of games, it's going to be a black mark for them.
All right, Washington beat Houston. Everybody's feasting on Houston. But now they're winning some games. Now they're above 500. Now they seem to be settling on Taylor Heineke. Is this team is this one of those teams we got to put into the equation, or are they just catching? I mean, again, Eagles aside, are they just catching the schedule the right way?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit that. I think that the Heineke bump is a real thing. This was a team that had no energy with Carson Wentz at quarterback. They have a very good, very different energy with Carson, without Carson Wentz, with Taylor Heineke in there. And, you know, I think that's a real thing. I think that they feel that they, you know, that when they run the ball and don't have to spend the whole game kind of waiting for something, when something goes wrong and it all unravels, they seem to be a better job of rolling with the punches, with Heineke as the quarterback. I think that the NFC East, I mean, we're talking about teams changing their impressions. I think the Giants yesterday looked like the team everyone thought they were going to be all season, which was an okay team that's, you know, not really up to the task. They really got manhandled by the Lions yesterday, and I think you're seeing that course correct at the same time as the Commanders one is, and it wouldn't surprise me if those two teams wind up in about the same place when the season's over. The Giants have obviously banked a lot more wins, but you look at their schedule, and it's tough to find too many more obvious wins for them, while the Commanders, you would say, are a team that's, you know, that's clearly trending in the right direction with a chance to beat the Giants and beat their division, you know, their other division rivals and really make a run at things.
Heineke's such a weird story because a couple of years ago, he's in the playoffs against Tom Brady. Then he's the starter. They go 7-10, but there was this middle part where they had won like 4 in a row and they were back in the conversation. Then he loses his job to Carson Wentz. He gets it back. Now he looks like he's going to keep his job. What exactly is he to the Washington Commanders?
You know, he is the most popular guy in the room.
No doubt.
When he's the backup quarterback, everybody loves him because he offers something different than what you're getting. Look, I thought the Commanders made a terrible decision to trade for Carson Wentz and hand him the job. It's not that I think Taylor Heineke is an all-pro quarterback waiting for his chance to shine, but there was nothing about Wentz that led you to think that it was going to play out any differently than it did in Washington. And, you know, Heineke will hit a wall. There's going to be some game where he throws a bafflingly bad interception and hurts the team and kills their chances of winning. That's the quarterback that he is. But he's just the energy that he brings, the inventiveness, there's a scrappiness versus the Carson Wentz where, just this sort of look on his face, like, I can't believe this went wrong. How did this go wrong for me again? Because he keeps doing the same thing. With Heineke, I think he knows he doesn't have all the athletic gifts, so it's all guile, and it's an ideal thing to have in a backup quarterback. It's a lot tougher to go into a season and say, we're going to go through 17 games of this, because it is just so nerve-wracking to have a quarterback like that.
All right, the Patriots and the Jets. It comes down to this return punt. The Jets only score 3 points, just over 100 yards of offense. The Patriots had more yards, but they also had just 3 points on offense. But which team today is in better shape? Is it which team looks better as for a playoff team in the AFC East?
Well, it's a very difficult question because it was the worst offensive football game I've ever seen.
No doubt. No doubt.
I think it has to be the Patriots are in better shape today because the Jets' locker room sounded very close to, Zach Wilson might not be able to get on this flight home because the players aren't going to let him get on the flight home. And I think Zach Wilson's body language, his demeanor after losses is something that doesn't play well. There's an apparent lack of accountability that just doesn't work when you play a game like he played yesterday. To say, like, he doesn't, you know, he said no when being asked if he felt he let the defense down. I would love to hear what Quinnen Williams and C.J. Mosley and Sauce Gardner feel about that. And if this continues, I think you have a real issue with the Jets in terms of, Joe Flacco was inactive yesterday. Joe Flacco plays that game for them yesterday. I think they win. I think they very clearly score more than 3 points on offense. And when you're looking at Joe Flacco as potentially a better option than the guy you picked second overall a year ago, it's a bad place to be. I mean, they're 6-4, and they have a defense as good as any in the game. They have a real shot at the playoffs, even with Wilson being a bad quarterback. But he can't be what he was. I mean, bad wasn't even a word for what he was yesterday. And I think sorting that out, and I frankly don't know how you do in a in the course of a season is looks a lot tougher than the Patriots, who seem to have just accepted that they're not going to be a good offensive football team this year, and they're going to have to win other ways.
You're right about Zach Wilson, because I, you know, we've seen quarterbacks who lose games 45-42 who've hit the podium and said, yeah, I didn't do my job. I'm supposed to get 46. It doesn't matter what the score is. I'm supposed to score more than the opponent, regardless of what the game is, and we didn't do that. Yeah, the fact that he's like, I'm not responsible for a 3-point offensive outing is not going to sit well at all.
No, it's playing terribly. And, you know, I imagine it's the kind of thing that Robert Saleh's going to have to talk about now today. When Wilson talks later this week, it's going to be a subject. All the players are going to be asked about it. And that just makes it worse. It just makes it worse to be around the Jets. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be a tough week for them. And they brought it on themselves. But it's, you know, the Sunday against the Bears probably can't come soon enough for them to, you know, put something else out there for themselves.
I'm not trying to get all sensationalism here, but is there any buzz out of Denver about Nathaniel Hackett's situation? Because it's got to end soon, right?
I mean, it feels like, you know, it feels like a matter of when and not if. And I mean, to lose to the Raiders twice is hard to fathom when you watch the Raiders play on a weekly basis. It's hard to imagine how anyone loses to the Raiders, and to do it twice is really tough to swallow. You know, he's given up offensive play calling. It was a little bit better, but then at the end of the day, this is still a team that you know, kills itself. Russell Wilson throwing an incompletion when the Raiders have no timeouts after the 2-minute warning on a third down play. It is these kind of inexplicable mistakes that it's for a veteran quarterback to make, for a coach to allow it to happen, for all of these things. It feels like they're going to have to make a drastic move, and it's going to be a lot easier to get rid of Nathaniel Hackett than it is going to be to get rid of Russell Wilson. So,
without a doubt,
I think that's where we're headed.
Josh, great stuff. Really appreciate your time as always, my friend. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, my man. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, bro. Josh Alper, ProFootballTalk.com is what our Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Visit them for a quote at Progressive.com. We'll continue. It's Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to Josh Alper, ProFootballTalk.com. Yeah, man, it's got to be over for Nathaniel Hackett soon, I got to think.
Yeah.
All right, so you were asking me a question off the air.
Yeah, well, I asked you, I said there was a report that came out, and this is according to Sports Illustrated Ross Dellinger, who, you know, he knows a thing or two about college football, says that there is literally one thing, one issue that is holding up the college football expansion.
Notre Dame.
The playoff expansion. Close. I like where your head was going with this, because there is a tradition involved in this one thing.
Rose Bowl. Always spoil the fun, don't they?
Rose Bowl has they want to guarantee that they will be on January 1st every year.
Yeah, there's no question. There is no question. They have to be.
Their whole identity is your say.
Well, this was, you know, just to give people a brief history of this, that for a long time, there was all of this, you want to know why we were so late to the college football playoff party? There was a real fight back from the bowls, which is a real moneymaker for college football. There is a system in place. If you ever read the book, Death to the BCS, Dan Wetzel was part of it. A couple of others that were part of, like, I think the Yahoo Sports staff that kind of came together on this book. And it is eye-opening the amount of hands that are in the pot of money that these bowls generate locally. And the playoff system, you got to remember, before it was finalized with what we have now, there was always a talk of an 8-team playoff. There was always a talk of a 16-team playoff. Like, we're not like, we always wanted 4. Now that we have 4, we always wanted 8. Like, everybody wanted 8, 16, 12, whatever they did, for years and years and decades. And this book sort of explained, like, well, why it wasn't going to happen, and who are the powers that be that were preventing this from happening, and the money. Like, you would think, you watch a bowl game on TV and you go, man, nobody's there. Nah, they still made a fortune. There's the rights fees and the media fees and the local sponsors to that. And it's a money machine that comes out to these bowl games. And so they were going to have to cut into that and cut in everybody's got their hand in the cookie jar. When everybody's got their hand in the cookie jar, nobody wants anybody to disrupt that, right? It's like that in politics. It's like that in anything. And so it was a real eye-opener to how the system really was faulty. And the Rose Bowl, we're right there in the middle of it going, if you do that, we're the fly in the ointment. Like, we're going to make a mess of it. You're going to want to have us, we won't be involved. But then when we are involved, we're going to make sure that it's on January 1st and we're not going to play it on January 10th. And we're not. And all of a sudden they were like, and their heads were about to explode. It doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. So apparently 5 of the 6 other college football playoff bowls have all said, yeah, we're good for the expansion.
Yeah.
Where the Rose Bowl just wants that little guarantee.
So what do you do with the Rose Bowl?
Here's the deal. If they can't come to an agreement, because they want to usher this in for 2024, if they can't come into an agreement, then it's going to be pushed off to 2026.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness.
So, I mean, the Rose Bowl, they don't even want, we don't want it December 31st.
Yeah. No, they seriously.
January 1st.
Well, the December 31st games were, remember when they were doing them at night?
Yeah, but that one that was New Year's Eve, who's watching this?
Nobody's watching it. They were trying to sell it, too. They had, Times Square, and they're like, and these people are all on their wraps watching.
See,
no, they're not.
I don't understand what the hang-up is. I mean, couldn't you use the Rose Bowl but not have it be the Rose Bowl?
Yes, you could. You could.
I mean, it just
makes
sense.
Hanging on, man. Hanging on to the very end. All right, it's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.